Day six of the detention of a peaceful opposition leader on trumped-up charges of encouraging violence. The world's reaction has been fairly muted, with countries preferring the strategic importance of basing their militaries there at the sacrifice of locals' human rights and democracy. The detention of Bahraini cleric and Al-Wifaq leader Sheikh Ali Salman has all the ingredients for an escalation of tensions within a years-long uprising calling for the ouster of the UK-installed Bahraini dictatorship. In this edition of the debate, we'll discuss Sheikh Ali Salman's detention and what it means for the uprising, while the world, especially the West, sits by silently.
Outrage continues to boil in Bahrain. It's almost a week since a fresh wave of mass protests began in the kingdom following the arrest of prominent opposition leader Sheikh Ali Salman. Demonstrators rallied in Manama and villages near the Bahraini capital on Friday in defiance of a ban imposed by Bahraini authorities. Before long, security forces intervened to break up the protests, using tear gas and firing rubber bullets at demonstrators. Sheikh Ali Salman was detained by security forces on Sunday. Authorities say he may be remanded in custody for another 7 days. They accuse the cleric of enticing violence in Bahrain. Sheikh Ali Salman is the secretary general of Al-Wifaq National Islamic Society, the biggest opposition group in Bahrain. Human rights bodies have condemned his arrest, urging Manama to immediately release him. Rights organizations have repeatedly criticized Bahrain for what they call rights abuses. However, Western governments, including the US and Britain, have kept silent on the crackdown in Bahrain. Britain has even deepened its relations with Manama, despite calls for it to pressure the Al-Khalifa regime to end the repression of its opponents. London has decided to set up a permanent military base in the Persian Gulf Kingdom for the first time in more than four decades.
For the first time in history of Bahrain, we've seen the protesters burning the flag of UK, and we are very much sorry for that. But it seems that the steam is rising in the hearts of the Bahrainis against the Western regimes, especially UK, which is very much backing the dictatorship in Bahrain.
Bahrain is home to the US Navy's Fifth Fleet, and Washington considers it as a key ally. The US has defended the Saudi military intervention in Bahrain to help crush the Bahraini people's uprising. Washington stands accused of hypocrisy regarding the issue of human rights and its support for democracy when it comes to the Persian Gulf Kingdom. The crackdown in Bahrain has left scores of people dead. Thousands of people have also been jailed or sacked from their jobs for taking part in pro-democracy protests.
Let's now introduce our guest for this edition of the debate. We're joined by former American diplomat, Mr. George Lambrakis, who is joining us live from London. And we're also joined by political commentator, Dr. Kevin Barrett, who is joining us live from Madison. Gentlemen, thanks very much for joining us for this edition of the debate. Dr. Barrett, I'd like to start with you. You know, Sheikh Ali Salman is the head of an opposition party whose demands are a lot more reconciliatory, in fact, than many of those of the people on the streets. Then why target him and his organization then?
Well, I think it's a terrible mistake that they're making to target him. This is just going to create more polarization and create the very violence that they're pretending to be trying to stop. And in fact, if we look closely at these charges against him, they're quite Orwellian in that what the Sheikh actually said, apparently, was that outside actors had made offers or suggestions of trying to turn the Bahraini opposition in the direction of violence, as happened in Syria. And they refused out of principle because they're dedicated to maintaining a nonviolent protest movement. Now, how that can be construed as incitement to violence, I don't understand. In fact, I think the problem for the Bahraini authorities is that the opposition in Bahrain, unlike in some of these other countries, including Syria, has not been penetrated by outside forces who are trying to turn it violent in order to destabilize the region. This is precisely the Western neocolonial strategy in the Middle East today, is to destabilize the region, smash countries like Syria and Iraq into pieces. They've also, of course, smashed Sudan into two pieces, north and south. They've smashed Libya into two pieces, east and west. They are smashing Syria into pieces. They're smashing Iraq into pieces. They're destabilizing, and they're doing this all through violence. Whereas in Bahrain, we have a peaceful, principled protest movement that is absolutely committed to nonviolence. And when the leader of that protest movement makes a statement making very clear his commitment to nonviolence, unlike the Syrians who allowed themselves to be infiltrated by Western double agents and agents provocateur in order to provoke a civil war, which is entirely the doing of the West and the Zionists in order to destroy Syria, and he says he won't do that in Bahrain, then they arrest him and say that he's inciting violence. We're living in an utterly Orwellian world, and the masters of our Orwellian world, the banksters sitting in London and New York, are the ones who are responsible for this wave of violence that's sweeping across the Middle East and this wave of injustice that's exemplified by the arrest of this very principled political leader and spiritual scholar.
Mr. Lambrakis, I wanted to get your opinion. Is this a ploy to radicalize those who are out on the streets protesting peacefully?
Well, I'm ashamed to say that my American colleague, who you have found, who while he describes accurately the fact that this has been a relatively peaceful campaign in Bahrain, although they have blown up bombs and killed police officers, generally it hasn't been that bad. But there is a history to all this, and I'm afraid all the other stuff talking about how the West has created everything in Syria, the West has done everything in the Middle East. I wish my my colleague would learn something about the history of the situation there. We are in the middle of a Sunni Shia campaign, a war, if you will, for taking more activity, more power in the Middle East. The leaders of the Shia side are Iran. The leaders on the Sunni side are two or three different other governments, Saudi Arabia, perhaps Egypt. And what we have in Bahrain, in case it's worth mentioning, Bahrain, the Iranian government claimed Bahrain even back in the Shah's days, but gave up that claim partly through international pressure. Now, human rights violations are taking part everywhere in the Middle East. Yes, Bahrain is, we're talking to the Bahrainis about it. They've been rather tolerant compared to, let's say, Iran. They haven't shot people in their prisons. They haven't sent people out to maltreat people in peaceful parades as they did in the last election campaign. So we are talking really about apples and oranges here, and we are particularly not talking about how the West created the Middle East. That's a long, long time ago. Right now,
Mr. Lambrakis, certainly if we were to get into human rights issues, we could speak about, of course, American issues as well regarding that with the recent killings of innocent African Americans in that country by white police officers. We don't want to get sidetracked there. We want to stick to the issue of Bahrain, but I do want to get a reaction to what you said from Dr. Barrett. Dr. Barrett, go ahead.
Well, I didn't completely understand the point that was being made here, although I understand that he's trying to insist on this talking point that the whole problem in the Middle East today is that these silly Middle Eastern Sunnis and Shias are fighting amongst each other. And there's no Western involvement at all. Of course, the West stays home and minds its own business. It's actually the Middle Easterners who have military bases planted in New York and in Washington and on the West and East Coast of America, all around the UK and Europe. You know, they're occupying us, I guess, is what he thinks. And he's obviously just inverting reality, giving us a bizarre world mirror image version of reality. The reality is that the Middle East has been utterly and completely colonized by the West. He tells me I need to learn history. Excuse me, sir. I think you're the one who needs to learn history. After World War I, essentially the entire Middle East was taken over by Europe, and they haven't really left. I mean, they've given nominal independence to a few countries. Others, like Iran, have actually stood up and demanded and managed to win their actual independence at the price of a tremendous amount of bloodshed. But the West continues to occupy most of the Middle East. Saudi Arabia is just a puppet state of the Western banksters. Anyone who denies that is a liar. The Saudi regime wouldn't last 5 minutes if it weren't being propped up by its Western masters, who are letting the Saudi rulers put their billions, if not trillions of dollars, of ill-gotten oil profits into Swiss banks and into propping up the petrodollar. And when the world collapse of oil prices was obviously incited by John Kerry, who gave the orders to the ruling family of Saudi Arabia, that group of dilettantes and playboys that couldn't, you know, rule an Elks Club lodge on their own. And it's essentially a geopolitical thing. And so this notion that this is all a Sunni-Shia conflict, that's a talking point that the Western imperialists and the Zionists are trying to hammer home in order to try to blame the chaos in the Middle East that they have created with their imperial strategies of divide and conquer, their false flag attacks, their Oded Yanon plan, the Israeli geostrategist's plan to divide the Middle East into tiny little statelets that couldn't possibly stand up against Israel. This is the source of the problem. And Bahrain is a colonized entity. The U.S. Fifth Fleet is occupying Bahrain, just as Western militaries are occupying most of the rest of the Middle East. And it's really a struggle here between the people of the Middle East and their occupiers.
Dr. Brett, if you allow me, I wanted to pick up on that last point you made about the U.S.